Well, you've got questions. The Bible has some answers, but then you've got questions about the Bible. So let's see if we can close the loop here just a little bit with Eric J. Bargerhoff. He's written a book called Why Is That in the Bible? And I love this. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. Nice to be with you this morning.
Eric, help us out. God's word is with us. It's a gift to us, and it's been cherished, and it's supposed to help us connect with God. But sometimes we have trouble connecting with the Bible. What's the problem here?
Well, there could be multiple reasons why that could be. Number one, I think it's because we're not always familiar with the world of the Bible, and so it takes us a little time to become connected to the Bible by looking at its history, its background, its culture, and its context. We almost have to time travel, if you will, and put ourselves in the world and land of the Bible. Even the language that's used there can sometimes be a little bit foreign to us. So that's one of the reasons why we have some difficulties, because we're not just familiar with the world in which the Bible was written. And so there are tools that we can use to find out those things. Another reason could be is because we're not in a place spiritually where we're ready to hear what the Bible has to say to us. And so sometimes there is some sin in our life that kind of gives us a little bit of a resistance to some of the things that the Bible is telling us, when it may step on our toes or any type of thing like that. And so I think that we have to make sure that we come to the Bible with a humble heart, a repentant heart, come with a desire to hear from God, to enter into the hard context that's there sometimes, to really figure out what's really being said to us so we can apply it for ourselves today.
Mm. Yeah, when you first dive into the scriptures, you'll come across passages like Luke 14, which says to hate our family. I mean, you know what? Some people might say, you know what? I'm out. I don't get that. It doesn't make any sense. But that's not supposed to be a stumbling block.
No, I think that when you come across those passages, like Jesus said that you would need to hate your family, and he's really referring to what would be in that day a comparison type thing. And so what we can't do is import all of our understanding of the word hate into that, in that particular context, because Jesus is addressing things differently in that culture than we would today. In fact, the idea of hate was really not to be taken literally there. It was kind of a rhetorical device that communicated the idea of loving someone less. And so Jesus is teaching us there that, you know, nothing should be first place in your heart over him. You know, he is the one who made you, created you, loved you, saves you, and redeems you. And so he should have first place in your heart. And so in comparison to that, you would almost hate anything else that would compete with that first love for Christ. Now, hate not in the sense of contradicting what the Bible says elsewhere about loving your family and loving your fellow neighbors and things like that. It's more of a comparison rhetorical device that they used in that day and age. It's kind of a Semitic way of expressing preference.
Hmm. Okay, so see, we just took a little bit of time there, and I feel like I understand that a little bit more.
Yeah.
It didn't take too long. Now, something that we talk about quite a bit here between me and my co-host Steve is that we were young people when we got into the Bible, and all of a sudden we stumbled across this book called The Song of Solomon, you know, and we're just teenagers, and we're like, wow,
right.
Okay. And you don't hear much about it. It's kind of something you have to discover for yourself. Why do you think God put this weird, maybe you could outline, you tell me what it is, and then
sure.
Why it got stuck right there in the middle of the Bible?
Well, that particular book has had a history of being misused and misunderstood, and trying to look at it as some kind of an allegorical story of a relationship between God and Israel or Christ and the church. And those are all basically reading into that story or that particular book what is not necessarily there. And so I think we have to take it at face value for what it purports to be, which is a love poem. You know, and it really is a description of married life. And so I think there's that sense where we have to really look at this for what it really is saying and not try to read into it what it's not saying, because there's some beautiful depictions of love. And it obviously uses language that's foreign to us. You know, your hair is like a flock of goats or something like that. You know, back in that day, that was a compliment. It's a beautiful thing because there was the goat hair was valued and was used in all kinds of places. And so there's a sense where the language of the author who wrote the book, and I think it's Solomon, is where we have to put our emphasis. We have to look at how they spoke and what they valued in that day and age, and then see the beauty behind that and how they were describing their love.
It's called Why Is That in the Bible by Eric J. Bergerhuff. He's been our guest this morning. Thanks, Eric.
You're welcome. Have a great day.